This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in crisis mode.
What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
we are 0-4, guys. Right now, the Braves have yet to win a game. I don't know if we're going to win in L.A. or not. Jesse Chavez has been DFA'd. See you later, Jesse. And, Mike, now we are starting to wonder what else is going to go wrong for this team. Look, I've said all along, and I think you guys know this by now, and I've said this for the last, I don't know, 5, 10, whatever years, April and May matter. And when I hear people say, well, you know, it doesn't, we'll get right in a few months. A few months, you don't have a few months. You will find yourself 5, 8, 10 games out of this thing. And listen, I just feel like right now, Mike, with all that happened yesterday, and we talked extensively about the Profar suspension, 80 games, and we'll continue that discussion today because I know many of you had a reaction yesterday, like, what the hey, and now you're getting the chance to kind of digest it. But, Mike, we're in crisis mode right now with this Braves team.
Yeah, I mean, look, this was the story that you and I talked about last week. If you can have a good series against the Padres, because you have to roll Grant Holmes against the Dodgers. And guys, nothing against Grant Holmes, but Braves fans get so misty over, like, the good old story of a guy who's scrappy minor league. He's a scrappy minor leaguer who finally got to the show for a reason. He's not that good. He had a decent run. But, I mean, his ceiling is here, and my arm is low.
It's low.
So, I mean, nothing against the guy. We all root for that kind of story. But the Kenny Powers dynamic aside, that's not a guy that should be rolling out against the Dodgers in game one. But that's where you're stuck, because Alex Anthopoulos, for all he's accomplished, has this aversion, this blind spot to spending on top starting pitching, top setup men, top relief pitchers. And it's going to bite. And this year, look, the bats will come around. They're over 162, Carl. This is too good a team. They will get back to their baseball cards sooner or later. But this pitching is brutal, too.
Now, we said that about Sean Murphy last year, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. I do think you're right. Listen, we are too good. I'm a believer in this club in a way that I thought the hitting would carry us, and it just hasn't done anything in these first five games. And here's the thing that's bugging me, guys, and I don't know if you see this or not. Tell me what you think about this, Mike. We don't even look competitive. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, well, you know, hey, we're going through a rough a stretch here. We don't even look competitive. So something right now is not clicking. Something's not right. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Profar screwed up everything for everybody last night. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did. But that's the issue for me, Mike. Like, you're telling me last night we got 4 hits. One stinking run, and this was it, by the way. I want you to hear our one run and our one hit last night. This was it.
Both of those came in the fifth inning. One by Harris, one by Kelnick.
Harris gets into this left center field, and the Braves break the drought. Michael Harris with a solo shot to get Atlanta on the board in the eighth.
Yay!
The Braves have not scored since the fifth inning of game two in San Diego, but that stops right here in the eighth in Los Angeles.
Yeah, 29 innings without a run.
Why don't we look competitive? That's the issue for me.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, we don't want to get into the body language thing because we don't know, but I haven't been in that clubhouse in a minute, so I'm not going to try to guess. But one thing I do know, you know, I don't know who the leader is. You and I have said this. Who's the guy when the chips are down to say, hey, man? Now, Snicker can call a meeting. You mentioned that. He did that a couple years ago, stopped the bleeding, and had a big turnaround. But you do miss some of the personality, some of the guys. I know some fans don't want to hear about it. But I just wonder because, I mean, you talked about when they had that. I fell asleep because the Braves freaking put me to sleep. But when they panned the dugout on FanDuel last night, I didn't see a lot of guys that are really engaged.
Rah, rah, let's go. Right. Let's get it going.
Right.
Where are we at? Do you guys really? As we struck out 14 times, not only are we not competitive, We're striking out like crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys tell me.
No. They fired the hitting instructor. Kevin Seitzer was the problem.
Seitzer? Yeah.
There you go. You fired the guy. The guy who gave you the greatest hitting season in franchise history. A year later, he forgot what he's doing. And now this year, I guess we better fire this guy now too. Okay, because they're not hitting. But this is why it was such a stupid, like a symbolic and foolish gesture to fire Seitzer last year.
404-726-0929. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? Am I the only one that's watching this? Like, where's the competitive fire that we need? We're 0-4 going into last night. You get a guy suspended. All right, let's rally, man. We got to get going. Yo, let's get this thing rolling. And I know we're playing arguably the best team in the league, but give me a break. Like, that's my issue right now. It's not the talent. I'm not going to tell you they're not giving effort. But that competitive fire that I'm used to seeing is not there, and we're not hitting. And that is a recipe for disaster. And then on top of that, Mike, the pitching is what it is.
Hey, will somebody on this team, next time they strike out or do something stupid, just take the bat to like the sunflower seed container and let's go crazy.
Hit something.
Hit something, man. Start throwing some stuff. Let's get some energy out of here, man. I know it's goofy, but this team, and I've said it, and a couple of listeners brought it up the other day, we have been literally lifeless in the true sense of it. Yes, we've competed and we did battle back to win the division, but this team has lost its mojo since Bryce Harper punked us, and I'll die on that friggin' hill.
All right, want to hear from you guys. Find us on social media. Turtle, I'm curious, what did our poll look like after that news broke yesterday? I'm curious what the final results were at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Listen, we are going to talk about the NFL annual meetings that are going on. Lots of news coming out of Palm Springs today. And Palm Beach. And, yeah, Palm Springs. Both great golf locations. But Raheem Moore spoke to the media today and had some things to say about Kirk Cousins, which we will get to if you're not hearing or familiar with everything that was said today. And listen, Arthur Blank came out today also and said that defense is going to be the focus in the draft. You think?
But we did apparently look at a lot of offensive tackles. Raheem Morris did let that out of the bag. That in addition to all this defense, and remember the whole rigmarole going up to Indianapolis, we're only going to talk to defensive players, that they are also looking at offensive tackles. Now, whether that's simply because, Carl, there is going to be a perceived run on offensive tackles, right?
Yes.
Before or around we're picking. But that's gamesmanship. I got nothing wrong with that. And if we do go get a tackle, well, we'll have to deal with the listeners on Friday.
listen, I think internally, and I've been saying this, all three picks, this is where I'm at. We're 3 weeks away from the draft now. We'll be defense. That's what I believe. I don't know what I don't know, edge or corner or D tackle or whatever, but those three picks should be used for defense. With that said, real quick, Turtle, what's the poll results? Because first of all, pose the question we asked yesterday. Now, this was before we found out that Profar was suspended for 80 games.
Yes.
Then we found out and people were like, holy crap. What were the results?
All right. So this poll was put up exactly 24 hours ago. It just went final. How concerned are you about the Braves 0-4, now 0-5?
Very.
Start. Not at all, 24%. Very concerned, 28%. Absolutely panicked, 10%. And the winner, far and away, at 38.6%, mildly concerned. I think if we did that now, it would be very, very different.
I'm mildly concerned. Now, as I said, the bats are going to come around. But again, one of the central issues that always, I'll stop yelling about it because there's no point in it. They don't change it. Is if you can't get your pitchers through the fifth inning, and then you got to rely on your bullpen. You got to account for that, especially early in the season, knowing that Strider won't be ready for another few weeks, knowing that A.J. Smith-Shawver has a penchant for getting up in the pitch count. You know what I mean? The Schwellenbach's done his job. We need Sale to stop the bleeding. This is where your ace really has to come through for you tonight.
I agree. All right, man. Plenty more baseball conversation. Brett Boone's going to join us. Odyssey MLB Insider coming up in less than 10 minutes. I will tell you guys that the tush push conversation has been pushed. It's going to be revisited. It has been tabled into a later date, which means they did not come to a decision on whether or not it should continue to be legal. A legal play in the NFL, or they're going to do away with it. Competition Committee Chair Rich McKay said there was a 30 to 40 minute discussion focusing on, Mike, the safety and other issues of the tush push.
Again, I'm sorry, I don't remember ever watching the tush push and watching guys sprawled on the floor. you know, writhing in pain. You know, it's just big box car running over another big box car. You know, I saw Matt LaFleur was asked about it today, and he was railing against it. You know, I figured this is my two cents worth, and I've told this to you before off the air.
What's that?
I think some of these offensive coordinators are egomaniacs, and their system and their brilliance, and they're not going to rip off or copy that because it's beneath them. So, I mean, look at the Falcons. We are, I mean, one of the worst things that we struggle in for years is short yardage. How many times, Carl, the last three seasons have we missed on short yardage plays? Go figure it out. It works. Use Tyler Algier. You know, you get the big bodies in there and do it. The Eagles, they got a tremendous offensive line, arguably the best in football. But to me, it's like, why don't you use something that's simple and easy, and to stop something that somebody's perfected, to me, is un-American. That's not what sports is about. So I'm glad that they tabled it at least for a year.
Well, they said they're revisiting in May,
right,
when they reconvene for their next meeting, whenever it is. I think it's in the summer.
Now, that sequence against the Commanders was pretty darn ugly.
Well, it
those
was.
Four plays in a row, but still,
yes.
But I don't think you reinvent the wheel because guys can do something you can't do.
That's the part that, Mike, bothered me. We saw four or five plays of that. That's not football. That's not creativity. That's not what you want to see in the red zone. And that takes away from the game. You're not embracing your fan base. I don't care what fan base you are. Mm-hmm. By doing that three, four, five times, and then the ref coming on and saying, hey, you guys jump over the line again. We're going to, you know, allow them to have a touchdown. We've never seen that. So I don't know which way this is going, but obviously there is real discussion about it. And I just wanted to mention it because it was such a hot topic yesterday. We said, hey, they're going to talk about it. Well, they did today. And, you know, guess who was leading the conversation, by the way? Howie Roseman. Imagine that.
Right.
The general manager of the Eagles is like, there is no proof that anybody is getting hurt on this thing. And so the league says, all right, we'll see where this goes. All right, more on what happened today at the annual NFL meetings. But when we come back, we got to talk to Brett Boone. We'll get his thoughts on where we are as a ball club right now. And I'm talking about, of course, our Braves. We are 0-5. We know Ronaldo Lopez, 15-day IL. We know Profar's done. He won't be back until late June. And now Jesse Mike, after last night, has been DFA'd. So this thing continues to turn over and change. And right now, look, I don't blame the Braves. Like, perform, get off the pot, or, you know, blank. Like we got to get something here. And for Jesse, we said this, you know, yesterday. This is his seventh, eighth time, whatever it might be, up here with the Braves. But either you're going to be good or you're not. And if you're not, we don't have time to clown around.
Yeah, and like, it's a great story. I mean, I joked around with Carl because every time they always say on TV, it seems like Brandon Gordon, our buddy from FanDuel, will be like, the players really want to see him get to the All-Star game. Pow! And it's a long fly ball, and it's gone. And like, it's a great story. And Jesse Chavez, it's like Jesse Orozco. You know, except Chavez is a right-hander. Generally, if you're a lefty, you can pitch to 50. But Chavez, that's it. Again, God bless, and vaya con Dios. And let's go get some serious too late now. Because all the good pitches already been gobbled up during the hot stove league and during spring.
You're going to have to wait till the trade deadline. You have to wait to see some of these teams who are going to become sellers. And that's a while, guys. That's July. All right. We're coming back. We'll talk to Brett Boone, our Odyssey MLB insider. We'll ask him how good does he think this Dodgers team is. They are off to an incredible start. Us, not so much. Let's talk some baseball with one of our favorite guys, Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. It is Dukes and Bell. Brett, here's the deal for us. And listen, you played a lot of baseball in your life. You've been on good teams, good, bad teams. When teams start like the Braves have started, what's going on? 0-5. You have a situation where you find out one of your everyday guys has now been suspended for 80 games. What's going on in the clubhouse with the Braves and how they're reacting? Because this 0-5 start, 0-5 has got us a little bit concerned.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I was down there game two. I went down and saw those guys in San Diego playing the Padres. And, you know, first of all, last year you look at the team and what's missing. Morton and Max Fried moved on. Those are two big guys that have been a huge part of a lot of that Braves team, current Braves team success. They're gone, but you're getting Strider back, and hopefully you're getting Strider back mid-April. You also have Acuna. He's not going to be coming back till late April or May. And then Murphy, the catcher, goes down early. And then add to that Profar. And the situation with him, the Verdugo signing looks better and better now that they did that. But the start of seasons, I've had hot starts on teams. I've had cold starts. I've had mediocre starts. Yeah, it's a little concerning you go 0-5. I mean, if you go 0-3, that's just part of the deal. It happens. But you run into it's a combination of things, is all those things I just discussed. Plus, you run into a red-hot San Diego Padres team, and, I mean, they played great. And they could do no wrong in that series. Tatis, everything he did turned to gold. And now you got to run into the Dodgers, who are the best team on paper I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. So it's a combination of a bad draw to start the season, not being healthy and running into really good teams to start the season. But they haven't hit either. I mean, I think they've hit a couple home runs, and the big guys are starting off really cold. So they're going to get better. This Braves team, I've looked at this Braves team, and with everybody, assuming everybody gets back and everybody's healthy, this team's going to be right there in that East pennant race. I think the Phillies are going to be really tough to beat. The Mets have obviously improved, but I don't think they've done enough in their starting rotation to address that. So I think it's between the Braves and the Phillies, but they're putting themselves behind the eight ball right now at an 0-5 start. You know, you say 0-2, no big deal, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5. There's some guys coming to the ballpark today going, all right, what the hell are we doing here? We got to get it going. So, and it doesn't get any easier. You know, you got to play the Dodgers two more games before you get home and get some home cooking, but definitely not the ideal start for these guys. But in the long run, healthy, this is a really good team that I expect to win 90 plus games.
You know, Brett, when you get up to an awful start like this, we were joking around about, you know, leadership, because, you know, you don't replace a guy like Freddie. We lose guys like Travis d'Arnaud, and we had Eric Young and Ron Washington. So I know it's early days. When do you look around and that clubhouse and go, really need somebody to kind of go nuts here and get, or call, I mean, when do you you just let it play itself out?
You let it play itself out. I mean, a lot of those team meetings are just kind of, you know, for us in the media, like, hey, you're 0-5, you better do something. You know, hey, yeah, we had a meeting and we pounded the desk and we really got it worked out in there. Well, 80% of the meetings I've ever been to are just that, nonsense meetings. They didn't mean anything. The true leadership comes from the guys on the field, and not what they say. It's what they do. And that's stepping up, and the stars of this team, the Albies, the Azunas, the Olsons, stepping up and doing something, going out and beating someone up, you know, Sale at the top of that rotation, going out and shoving for 5, 6, 7 innings. That's how you lead. So I think it's a little early for that. The one thing that I've noticed about this Atlanta Braves team, and I think in 2025, it's not the common thing, but the skipper Snitker and his coaching staff, really kind of a throwback old school. I hate to use the term old school, but just a really professional staff. And I couldn't imagine a more collected and just poised skipper to lead these guys than Snitker. And I've just, the more and more I get to talk to him, meet with him, I've had him on my show a few times. He's just a real, he's got a way about him. I can't really pinpoint it and explain it, but he's got a way about him. If anybody can lead him out of this, it's him. It's just the demeanor he has.
Let's talk about the other team. We're joined by Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB insider. Dodgers are advertised. I mean, they're off to a terrific start themselves. And look, we're talking about potentially going back to back. What do you make of what they did this offseason? And then now, you know, we're getting a chance to see it.
The Dodgers, I think they're unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think what's unbelievable about them is not necessarily they're we all know about the Freemans and the Otanis and the Mookie Betts. You got Teoscar Hernandez. You added Conforto. The list goes on and on to an already a world championship team. The starting rotation, and I look at it, it's ridiculous. I mean, you got the May kid throwing tonight against the Braves. Oh, he throws 100 with a sinker, and you've never heard of him. You got Gonsolin coming back. Kershaw's starting to pick it up. Here's how I look at the landscape of today's game in 2025. I think a premium now, more than ever. You know, when I was playing, yeah, it's always important to be healthy, but it seems like guys drop like flies these days. So the healthiest team usually has the most success. But I look at this Dodger team, if the difference between them and everybody else is if their stars go down, they replace them with another star. The depth of that roster, up and down, is the best I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it from a talent perspective, from a depth perspective. It just never runs out. Clayton Kershaw, if he was healthy right now, and all the guys on their roster are healthy right now, Clayton Kershaw is arguably the seventh, eighth starter. And I know he's 37 years old, but this is one of the greatest pitchers in the history of the game. If you can say you have him sitting in the seven hole, I think you're pretty stacked. So I think as advertised, 5-0 doesn't shock me one bit. This is the best team on paper in the game. And I think the second to the Dodgers is a distant, you know, it's going to be a great division because the Diamondbacks in their division, the Padres have lost a little bit, but they're still a very, very, very talented team. But I think they're all playing for second place. I think those two teams I mentioned are playoff teams, but I think in that division, I don't see anybody beating the Dodgers.
And we can't let the Dodgers have a torpedo bat. Brett Boone is with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds. First time he gets one in his hands other than batting practice. He goes for 7 RBIs, 2 home runs yesterday, and a blowout for Cincinnati. What do you make of this, man? I mean, we're always looking for an edge. The bats were being used last year by the Yankees, but now it's a sensation.
Well, I think, yeah, it's something I had Chuck Shupp, the head of Louisville Slugger for 25 years, the main rep to us. He's the guy that got us our bats. And I asked him, what's going on with these torpedo bats? To educate me a little bit. And he told me, he said, Booney, this has been going on for a couple of years as far as the technology and trying to do it. And all I can take is the layman approach, the player's approach, what I think's going on with these bats. I think it's probably going to be the way of the future. I think it's an interesting concept. And I think the way the game is now with the numbers and the data points and the metrics, everything's kind of going in a more sophisticated way in all sports at the top level. I think we're headed towards what the golfers do, where you go into a lab, you get hooked up with all these cords and you swing the bat for a half hour. It downloads into a computer. The guy running the show says, all right, I'll send you 6 bats in a week. And it just spits out what your individual swing, your tendencies, where they should put the wood, how they should shape the bat. And I think it's going to be very individualized. I think in the short term, you're going to see the big boys like an Aaron Judge, the Otani, they're going to kind of look at these new bats and say, hey, I'm doing just fine on my own, hitting 50 home runs with my bats. I don't need that technology. But I think in 15 years, it's going to be commonplace. I think everybody's going to go into a lab. They're going to spit out the bats that are supposed to work for them, and they're all going to have individualized bats. Just like a PGA Tour player would go in, he grabs heads and different shafts and different lengths. He swings, and they build him a custom-built driver with the weights in the right place on that driver head for where they tend to strike the ball. And I think it's going to be no different in baseball. Everybody's going to have an individualized bat just specially made for them. And it could be a matter of centimeters here and centimeters there, just making that perfect bat. I think the big misconception right now, these are not illegal bats. They're not harder. The sweet spot's not bigger. The sweet spot is just moving around for your individual swing. So if you bring it down a quarter of an inch from where the normal sweet spot is, that's what the computer's saying. Your swing hits it here more than on the actual sweet spot that's kind of been standard for years. So I think it's interesting technology. I think in the years to come, you're going to see it embraced by the masses. But in the short term, I think you're going to see the older players, the guys that have been doing it their way, we're kind of creatures of habit. I don't think you're going to see them change, but I think the younger generation and some guys that are messing with it right now, you're going to see it slowly integrated into the game.
Great stuff as always. Brett Boone, we appreciate you. We're looking forward to our visits with you weekly. Odyssey MLB Insider brought to you by Grainger. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Thanks again, and we'll see where the Braves, where they go, man. We look forward to getting them back home here on Friday, and hopefully we get on a run.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cool.
I agree with him 200% about the customization of these bats. Guys have kind of done this, but he's right to the extent of PGA Tour guys. I mean, if you guys are not familiar how customized these clubs are and why they're able to hit the ball the way they do with the loft and the ball not moving off the green, like, he's right about that. Doing that with the bat is going to help these guys, and I think that's where we're headed. I agree with Brett Boone. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. Daily downloads on the way. Hawks back in action tonight. Need to take care of business. We'll tell you why next. The NFL owners did approve. I don't even know if I like this, Mike. The modified new overtime rules. Did you see this? Where basically the time hasn't changed. It's going to be 10 minutes overtime, but both teams get to touch the ball. I mean, we're talking about regular season overtime now.
Right.
And, you know, again, we told you that they tabled the tush-push, and they're going to look at that again in May. But some of this stuff that's coming out, the overtime change coming for the regular season, owners voted to align the regular season overtime rules more closely with the postseason overtime rules. Under the overtime rules in the postseason, the period is 15 minutes long. Both teams are guaranteed a possession, even if the team that gets the ball first scores. So they have approved that today, and I think the time is 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes currently right now.
So, again, you know, you say, all right, this is great. Well, what if a team goes on a drive for 9 minutes and 50 seconds and they score? Is the game over? Other team doesn't – do they not get a chance to touch the ball? Like, I do have my questions about this, and I guess they just feel like, hey, both teams are going to try to score as quickly as possible. But we know this, Mike. I mean, you can't predict that.
Right.
So now both teams are now guaranteed a possession during overtime in the regular season.
Well, I like that. I always thought it was strange that they did it as a knee jerk because of the amazing Buffalo Kansas City playoff game where the Bills never got to see the football. But I always thought it was weird to decide how you get in the playoffs. Why should the rules be different than what they are in the playoffs? You feel me on that?
I do. It should be the same. I don't disagree. Touchbacks will be moving out to the 35-yard line.
Trying to get the kicking team to not basically kick it out of the back of the end zone. We want to see the ball kick somewhere between the 20 and the goal lines, and we're going to see a return. That's what they're looking for.
All right. We'll talk more about some of the things that they passed. But, again, a lot of this stuff is coming out. We talked about yesterday flex rules for changing Thursday night football. Just a slight change, but they're talking about a lot of things. And this is, this is what makes the NFL good. They at least discuss some of the things that we talk about as fans. They don't necessarily change all of it, Mike. I mean, they don't always get it right, but at least they attempt to try to talk about it and change it. We're going to talk more about it coming up in our 4th and 1 segment. Hey, Turtles Behind the Glass, he is our executive producer. Of course, Big O is our engineer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Well, Hawks back in action tonight, Mike, and we talk about having winnable games. Trailblazers in town. I think they are in 10th spot, I think, or 12th even in the Western Conference. They're 32-43. But the Hawks come into this game, they're basically a 6-point favorite. They're at home. This is a winnable game. And after beating the Bucks the other night, you know, you've put yourself in a position where you're only, what, 4 games behind the Bucks, I believe, for the 6th spot.
Mm-hmm.
You got a chance. Now, the Bucks are going to have to help us.
Right.
But with just 8 games left, Mike, you got a shot to maybe make this happen.
Now, we cannot lose to teams we're supposed to beat, right?
Correct.
That's been some of the issues. But you're right. All of a sudden, now the Bucks are there. I mean, 4 games is doable. I mean, it's legit. Now, you got to go on a great winning clip, win like 5 of your next 6 or something like that. But do you trust this team to be able to put that kind of run together? Because if we look at the games like when you lose to the Nets, you know, or, you know, like the Rockets game, like that's a good Rockets team. Losing to the Heat, I still don't know what that was. If the Heat was, you know, I don't know, they got a bounce from the Jimmy Butler game, but you should have beat the Heat in that game. If you want to go toe for toe. Now, I know they got Bam Adebayo and they got a bunch of younger players that they've gone to and Tyler Herro, but I just felt that was a game they let get away. But those ones kind of creep in. But if you can, you know, do away with that down the stretch, yes. For instance, the Blazers. This is a team they've got to beat. They're better than these guys on paper. Because what did Kenny Mayne say? We know the game isn't played on paper. It's played inside your television.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, but don't trip up against these guys, I guess is the point I'm making.
I agree. Meanwhile, yesterday, with all that was happening, we didn't get a chance to really talk about it, but Trae Young made an announcement yesterday that he's going to take on the assistant general manager's role for Oklahoma basketball, Mike. And he also donated $1 million. This is Trae talking about it.
I'm excited to announce that I'm accepting a role with OU basketball and being an assistant GM, as well as making a million dollar donation to help kickstart this whole thing.
Wow.
So it's exciting to be a part of this, and being from Norman and playing there, obviously. It's exciting times, and I'm looking forward to being in this new role.
Now, Mike and I both looked at each other yesterday, and we said, why now? Well, Trey was asked just that question. Mm-hmm. Why take on this role now?
Well, I think obviously today the game has changed, and with NIL and college basketball, the way it's changed, I think it's a perfect time for guys to be more involved with the schools that make them who they were, or help just kind of push them to be who they were. And I know for someone like Steph and me, I mean, we represent our schools off the court and in the locker rooms and talk trash all the time. So now to be able to even represent even more, it's going to be even more special.
He does. When I saw Trey at the SEC championship game, he had OU stuff on. He's always got stuff on.
Right.
And he does represent that. And look, I have no issues with the guy getting involved with his alma mater. This is great. And, you know, we talk about, you know, what are guys doing. This is close to his heart. He's passionate about it. Hey, man, I'm fine with it, Mike. I just wondered about the timing, and is this going to take away in any way from what you're doing with the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, what does a GM do now in these roles? We've seen a lot of guys like, you know, Oliver Luck is doing it, right? Or now it's Andrew Luck is doing it in Stanford.
Correct.
So you've got – his dad has always been involved, you know, in that role with the other universities. But now as an athletic director, what does it mean? I mean, does he confab? Does he talk to the folks? Does he pass the hat? See, I think a lot of this is also about helping – get people involved in NIL. And hey, man, Trey Young reaching out to, you know, a booster.
Yes.
Things like that. I mean, so I don't know what the job description may vary from school to school, but I think that's part of it.
I do too. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Oh, it's all NFL, guys. Annual NFL meetings going on. Mike, let's hear from Mike Tomlin. Everybody's wondering about Aaron Rodgers. This is what Tomlin said about Rodgers when he came to visit.
He's a free agent. As you guys know, he came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
Now, Art Rooney came out and said, and the quote was, "I keep hearing that he's headed in our direction." That's what he said today about potentially Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh, Mike. And, of course, that's the owner of the Steelers. So, you know, I don't, where's that coming from? I don't know. But, listen, Chris told us yesterday, you know, these guys, DK Metcalf and Aaron, were playing catch at UCLA. That video got out there. Who took the video? Like, who was out there filming those guys and like, hey, y'all want me to go ahead and put this out there? Like, I don't think that was a coincidence. So, either way, we'll see how that all shakes out. But all the coaches down there, general managers, owners, it's a big deal. And, again, they're talking about a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, we've been kind of trying to read the tea leaves with Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings thing, have you been a betting man? 50-50 for both Steelers and Vikes, or you feel still Steelers?
No, I think that door's still open. You know, you said you think he prefers the Vikings.
I think it's more turnkey.
I do too. But I also think that maybe there may be more obstacles there for the Vikings than there are for the Steelers. Meaning, to go there for him, it's easier to go to the Steelers because he's needed and wanted, and it's not a bad team. It's a playoff team that needs some help at quarterback, obviously. The Vikings, though, Mike, I think they have more reservations about where they want to go and what they're trying to do as far as the quarterback situation. Either way, I think both doors are still open. I do.
I just want to see, you know, this thing get resolved, because we're sitting here waiting for the shoe to drop. And you'll hear what Raheem Morris had to say today, because he was front and center about Kirk Cousins. And they're still running up the flagpole. We'll let you hear about it, that they think they can coexist, Carl, and actually have him here. Now, he wouldn't be here for OTAs, but they still think they can have him on the roster, which to me just sounds like gamesmanship for whatever they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I mean, and Arthur Blank had a lot to say today. I mean, that's the other part of it. Mark Raimondi is going to join us from ESPN. He covers the Falcons as well. And he was talking about Arthur Blank, said he was on the phone. You remember that conversation? We said, hey, he requested to meet with our owner. We're talking about Cousins. And, Mike, we discussed it that day. Apparently, Arthur Blank's like, we were on the phone hours. Like, it was a minute, you know, as far as the conversation was concerned. But nothing came out of it except, okay, we know what you want. But we have to be able to get something out of this as well.
And I don't know. I mean, is Arthur being diplomatic about it with his comments?
I do.
You know, I mean, look, we know that Kirk is Kirk basically made you guys look like a bunch of knuckleheads with his comments at the Super Bowl. I mean, are you just going to let that roll off your back? I mean, I think it's time to play a little hardball with Kirk Cousins. Now, the problem is he's got all the leverage because of the
no trade
clause. He can sign off or not. And if you feel that Cleveland is basically still the only viable option, the only thing I think most Falcon fans care is just can we get something for this draft? Something that will help us either move up in the draft, where maybe in second or third round, or if we can get an additional pick. I know you said it yesterday, a bunch of guys are killing. Don't kill me. Kill Bill Barnwell.
That's right.
He thinks we don't get anything more than a seventh round pick for Kirk Cousins.
All right. Marcus said they spent an hour on the phone. That's a long time. When's the last time you've been on the phone for an hour?
Never.
An hour on the phone, our owner with Kirk Cousins. And our owner says, Arthur Blank, he took notes and understands his situation and understands our situation, the Falcons. And he understands that we are committed. We've committed a lot of funds to him over a short period of time. So we'll get more into this later. But, yes, that's all coming out today as far as the Falcons are concerned down there at the NFL annual meetings. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Mike, when are the Braves going to win? Is it today? Is it today? Do we finally get a dub today?
Well, I mean, we DFA'd Jesse Chavez. So, Hector Neris got DFA'd. They brought Jesse back, and they DFA'd him. I think it's time to reach out to David Robertson. A lot of our guys have reached out to us. Guy's been in the show for many, many years, most recently with the Marlins, Mets, Rangers. And that's another arm. He's 39, fits our bill.
Yep.
It would be inexpensive. But, yeah, this is it's getting really bad. This is comical. We talked about it, and you heard Brett Boone. You don't freak out. You don't panic. As I said to you in the first segment, bats will come alive. And you better, but you better get a win from Chris Sale. Because now with Ronaldo Lopez out, and now you're hoping that you're hoping Strider's going to come back sooner than so that's the thing with it. How many more rehab starts you need? I know you got to be careful here. Because you can't have any guarantees that AJ Smith-Shawver is going to be able to eat some innings for you.
Yeah.
And you're leaning on your bullpen again.
Well, that's what we lost, honestly. And, you know, again, we'll see how it shakes out with Morton. But you lost innings eaters with Max Fried and Charlie Morton. And whether you thought they were great or they're not any good anymore, Max got paid, obviously, going to New York. But the fact is, Mike, you knew at least you were going to get 5-plus out of these guys. And you didn't have to put that kind of pressure on your bullpen.
Right.
You're right. I mean, like, now you're going, all right, every fifth day, hell, I have to win with Chris Sale's out there. So we'll see what happens tonight. But, you know, again, I don't think guys are pressing quite yet. I just don't think we're hitting, and that's obvious. But I do think the pressing will start because the longer this goes, Mike, the more guys start to get into their head. And all of a sudden, if we don't hit these next two games, you come home against the Marlins, and it's the Marlins,
right?
Okay? They should not even contend for this division. They got really one very good pitcher that everybody will be vying for at the trade deadline and a bunch of guys.
But as Oren said yesterday, they've had some really big dramatic wins.
They have.
You know, to start the season, which gives a young team confidence.
Well, they don't have anything to lose.
No.
They're going into this season like, hey, I'm going to go prove myself. Some of these guys want to get paid eventually.
Right.
They're in a different situation. We are in a must win. We paid all our guys.
Right.
Now, our payroll's up. We're about to be in the luxury tax, even though we're saving some money with Profar. Our situation is different.
Well, as we said, you know, you got guys picking up these torpedo bats for the first time and having seven RBI nights. So let's hope that that's – I love it. Every Braves fan, I must have seen that a million times in some of the Twitter things. And we need them torpedo bats. By the way, yes, that is my obligatory Braves fan from somewhere in ball ground, George. We need them torpedo bats.
They're coming. I don't know if those help us either, though.
And why can't I dip Copenhagen when I'm in the 400 section?
By the way, one other thing I want to mention, we discussed it briefly the other day, and that is that skirmish in the NBA, Mike. Pistons and T-Wolves. Well, the NBA looked at it all, and the penalties have come out. So Isaiah Stewart gets a two-game suspension. Marcus Sasser, Ron Holland,
right,
each received one game.
What did they hit DiVincenzo with?
One game.
Well, he was the victim. They roughed him up to start the whole thing.
DiVincenzo and Naz Reid were hit with one game ban. So and I said this, maybe it was Chris or Oren out there. Nobody really threw punches. And that's why this wasn't.
Nobody in the NBA threw. The last time we saw punches was Malice in the Palace. These guys don't even know how to throw a punch.
This was a lot of guys falling, and it looked a lot worse because you see everybody running.
Hold me back now.
But nobody was like, they weren't throwing punches at DiVincenzo when he was down. But one game.
The other story today, kind of weird. I mean, like 8 or 9 games left in the season, and the Grizzlies fire their coach. Taylor Jenkins gets got in Memphis. Now, again, I don't follow the Memphis Grizzlies, but there's a big story from Shams Charania in ESPN.com. NFL.com. In a nutshell, Carl, they brought in all these like European coaches and guys that have a different style mm-hmm. to try to beef things up and basically run off a pick and roll system. And he was apparently on thin ice, so he does not get along with John Morant. And apparently, they made him fire all his assistants to bring these other guys in. So weird, though, to do this just basically 3 weeks before the playoffs.
Yeah, this was weird. The timing of it—you could have waited to the end of the year. But the expectation for the Memphis team, and yes, the organization made him fire all of his people last year and brought in all these people to replace his people.
Right.
And
who he has no familiarity with whatsoever in their system.
Everybody around the league was like, this ain't going to last. And it didn't. And the irony is, Mike, to your point, like the timing of you could have waited. But either way, we'll see how far they go. Big O just told me Zion has been shut down. No way. Really? Zion's been shut down?
A bone bruise in his back.
No way.
So this is the fourth season in his career where he played 30 games or less.
Oh, come on. I just don't believe it.
It's a bone bruise. I mean, those are serious, Carl.
If anybody out there ever, if you text us, I'm going to crawl through the internet and find you and choke you out. If somebody brings up Zion to this Hawks team ever again. The guy, I was mildly interested in Brandon Ingram, but no way in Zion. No way, no how. Because these guys don't come with a money-back guarantee, Carl.
No. Hey, look. Too many injuries, man. Too many. And I know you guys are like, y'all ain't watching him. Yes, we are. He doesn't play enough. All right. We're coming back. 4th-and-1 on the way. By the way, a lot of talk about Stephon Diggs in New England and everything that they're doing. Like, is this being overhyped?
He's coming off a knee injury. The money, now it's not as big a contract as it looks. It's more incentive-laden. But he had to stick around for a while before somebody threw some coin at him.
And what did Raheem Morris say today? At the NFL annual meetings. We'll tell you next.